Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the passage from St. John chapter 6 that has just been read. Some years ago, when I was still working in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, I remember reading a newspaper report about tribal fighting that was going on in the Enga province about 50 miles to the west of it. The young journalist who described these events belonged to one of the warring clans, and he graphically described in his report how one day he had found himself in the back of a truck that had to pass through hostile territory on its way to his home area. The warriors of the enemy clan had been stopping trucks and searching them, and he and everyone on that particular truck had received reports about this. And he described how, as they approached the enemy territory, he and others in the back of that vehicle were in terror of their lives. They were all crouching down on the floor, and everyone was praying. He reported how a Catholic woman was praying over and over, "Mama Maria, Mama Maria." And many of them, the young journalists included, were confessing their sins. And he described this also quite graphically. They were afraid of dying in their sins. And as I read that report, I was reminded of Jesus' words in John chapter 8, "I tell you that you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am He." In Pastor Gray's sermon on Tuesday, we heard how Jesus, the bread of life, is the only hope for a world that's dying in its sins. He is the living bread who satisfies the spiritual hunger and thirst of people around the world. As St. Augustine said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless until they rest in thee." In Jesus, the world has offered peace and rest for all of its spiritual distress. He is the living bread who came down from heaven. He's superior to the manna that their forefathers ate in the wilderness. That manna was bread from heaven. It sustained Israel in the desert in a miraculous way for 40 years. But those fathers who ate the manna all died. Their bodies were strewn throughout the wilderness. Jesus is the superior living manna, the heavenly bread that a man may eat of it and not die. Jesus promises that if anyone feeds on him, he will raise him up at the last day. And these are the trustworthy promises of the eternal Word of God, the one who has, as we hear at the end of John 6, the one who has the words of eternal life, the one whose words are spirit and life. These great texts from John 6 are very appropriate for this Lenten season, and this is the third sermon on John 6 this week. They're appropriate for Lent as we look up to the cross, to the Lamb. We've just been singing, "I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God." Through the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb, we're assured that we won't die in our sins. Verse 51 of our text this morning becomes quite explicit about the Lamb's sacrificial death. Jesus says there, "The bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." We hear him here foreshadowing Good Friday, when he is to give his flesh for the world's salvation. And then the text moves on, becoming, it seems, more and more explicit. Quote verses 52 and 53, I'll quote these. "They were quarrelling amongst themselves, the Jews, saying, 'How is this fellow able to give his flesh to us to eat?' Jesus therefore said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you.'" Jesus has been adding more and more detail to the picture as the chapter progresses. The living bread that came down from heaven is his flesh. Indeed, it's his flesh and his blood. What does this mean? These have been controversial words. They were controversial then. They've been controversial down to the present day. Among Lutherans, we have found two interpretations. The first is Luther's own approach, an approach that must command our respect as the Lutheran Church honours Luther as its foremost teacher under our Lord Jesus Christ. Luther found Zwingli making much of verse 63. The flesh is of no avail, the flesh profiteth nothing. Luther then conceded to Zwingli that all of John 6 has to do with spiritual feeding on Christ. But Luther then went on to hold Zwingli's feet to the fire on the words of institution in the Synoptic Gospels and 1 Corinthians. It was as if Luther was saying to Zwingli, "Okay, Huldrych, you can have all of John 6, but I have Matthew, I have Mark, I have Luke, I have 1 Corinthians." Luther's spiritual interpretation of these verses goes back to St. Augustine, who said, "Believe and you have eaten." In other words, feed on Jesus' flesh and blood by faith. Let what Jesus did for you on the cross be your daily food and your daily drink. This is the ancient and honourable interpretation of these verses that was followed by Augustine and by Luther. We feed on Christ. We feed on him by word and by sacrament. The second interpretation is to see verses 53 to 58 as sacramental. Lutherans who hold this view don't necessarily look for sacraments under every bush in the New Testament. We should always be careful not to read things into the text of Scripture. Luther constantly reminded us that a good pastor, a good theologian, is a bonus textualis, a good text man who gives the text its due. Now, when we look closely at this text in St. John, this text in these five, six verses, it seems clear to many Lutherans that what we find here is a meditation on the importance, on the significance, the life-giving significance of the sacrament, and that is its real, its intended sense. First of all, they are struck by the extraordinarily close parallel with John 3:5, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a person is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nearly all Lutherans take that as a reference to baptism. And the words in John 6 come to us in the same form, the same structure. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you." It's not surprising, then, that some see here a literal reference to the Lord's Supper. Then there are the references in the context which make it clear that Jesus is not inviting his disciples to be cannibals, which would seem to be taking it in that literal sense as an invitation to be cannibalistic, a Capernaitic kind of eating, as it's been described. Jesus makes it very clear, and the context makes it very clear, that the flesh and blood that he is referring to is the glorified, exalted flesh and blood of the majestic Son of Man, the Son of Man who could walk on water, as we see earlier in chapter 6, the Son of Man who, as soon as he enters the boat, is able to make that boat arrive at the opposite shore, the Son of Man who promises that he would gloriously ascend to where he was before. John 6 powerfully teaches what's known as the genos, or the genos maiostaticum. I'd like to see how that's translated. The beginus majestaticum, the communication of the majesty of Jesus' divine nature with his human nature, the communication that is so important to us in our doctrine of the Holy Supper. Despite Luther's confession to Zwingli that John 6 was not at all sacramental, the sacramental view of this passage established itself as part of Lutheran piety at least as early as the 17th century. Johann Rist, who lived 1606 to 1667, wrote the beloved hymn 244 in Lutheran worship, a hymn of praise to Christ, the Christ who comes to us both in word and in sacrament. O living bread from heaven, how well you feed your guests. The gifts that you have given have filled my heart with bread. O wondrous food of blessing, O cup that heals our woes, my heart this gift possessing with praises overflows. My Lord, you here have led me within your holiest place, and here yourself have fed me with treasures of your grace. For you have freely given what earth could never buy, the bread of life from heaven, that now I shall not die. You gave me all I wanted. This food can death destroy, and you have freely granted the cup of endless joy. My Lord, I do not merit the favour you have shown, and all my soul and spirit bow down before your throne. Lord, grant me then thus strengthened with heavenly food while here my course on earth is lengthened to serve with holy fear. And when you call my spirit to leave this world below, I enter through your merit where joys are mingled flow. We thank God this morning for the blessed assurance that we won't die in our sins. And anyone who comes to Christ as the living bread, the bread from heaven, will not die in their sins. We thank God that in the flesh and blood of the Son of Man who went to the cross for us, we have a glorious antidote to death. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.